If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TeladocHealth/whatsyourwhy.
Hey, Andrew, I have a simple question.
What is it?
Is the new Toyota Tacoma cool or crap?
We can answer that question on this podcast of TFL Talking Trucks.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the vehicles that we've bought this year, our experiences with them, and whether we liked them or didn't, or both.
Not just vehicles, trucks.
Trucks.
Huge trucks.
But let's start with the one that we've held on to the longest, which is our Ram HD Cummins. And here's a hint.
We've held on to it the longest.
Yes. Well, in January, what, a couple months from now, yep, it'll be 3 years.
Wow.
That we've owned this Ram Heavy Duty Cummins. And usually, we don't own trucks for that long, do we?
No.
So why are we keeping this one for such a great amount of time?
Because we just need it for towing. It's such a useful truck.
Yes, absolutely. So we first purchased, you went out with Tommy, purchased it. I wasn't around that week. We needed it to kind of help us build out the ranch, right? Tumbleweed Ranch, we were kind of building some off-road courses.
Towing a lot of rocks. Hauling
rock. Yeah. We were, towing trailers full of equipment, right? So we were really working it hard, and we did. And then we decided to kind of upgrade it and turn it into an off-roader.
Yeah, so we met with our friends, or called our friends at AEV, asked them for, because, I love the Prospector, right? So the Prospector is kind of my dream truck.
A Ram Prospector.
This isn't quite the Ram Prospector because it doesn't have the high output. High.
It's just got the normal output.
Yeah, I've been listening to Sniff and what's the other one? Smith and Sniff. They do that high output engine. So I'm copying them. I just got the normal output engine. So has been a really great truck. I think we've towed to California now a half a dozen times. When the boys over at the bike channel were getting motorcycles for us to test long term, we had to go to California to pick them up. Same thing with side-by-sides. And what is the tow? I think, 14,000?
No. More? So it's rated from the factory at 20,000 pounds.
Okay, whoa.
But of course, we've compromised it, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, we wanted to do it in a very smart way. So we did reach out to our friends at Fox and BDS. So it does have a BDS suspension lift, about 3.5 inches. Fox shocks are very good, and these are adjustable shocks, so you could actually reach under the truck, which is easy to do because it's huge and so tall, and actually adjust the valves on the shocks and make it either a little bit softer or firmer. We've done this. We put 37s on it, but we didn't want to take away from the towing capability as much as we could. So it's still for example, we would tow like 8,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds with it, and it doesn't break a sweat.
Right, yeah. Unlike most mid-sized trucks or even full-sized trucks, this is what this thing is really...
Even with a lift.
Built for, with a lift. Yeah. It just doesn't care. You know, it's rock solid. You don't have that tail wagging the dog issue with this truck.
And the Cummins is, it's beautiful.
And plus, because we're using, diesel, and it's got a big gas tank, it's got a very long range. So as a towing rig, it's ultimately the best thing we can.
And that's why we've kept it.
Yeah.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah. Now let's talk about some of the other things. So it does. It's the big horn. So it's not the bougie one.
No.
It's kind of the mid grade. And I think we paid $62,000 for it back in the day. Do you remember?
$68,000. Well, that was the sticker price. Yeah. I don't remember if you got a small deal on it.
We may have gotten a friends and family discount.
Yeah. So the sticker price was $68,000. We've done a lot of work to it with partners, right? Like you said, AEV and others, and we've put a lot of money into it. But of course, none of that matters. Like if we went to sell it now, right, or trade it in now, it would kind of go at the market value of a Ram Heavy Duty Cummins. And even though we've put in $20,000 of upgrade parts into it, including a winch and bumpers and suspension and Mopar parts and accessories, none of it matters, does it?
Yeah, people don't understand that necessarily just because you put $20,000 worth of upgrades, it doesn't raise the vehicle price $20,000. It just, makes it harder to sell because you've customized it to your own taste.
Or maybe easier to sell or harder to sell?
It's harder to sell, yeah.
Come on, dude. It's got big bumpers and a big winch and big tires.
Right, but not everybody.
Why is it hard?
Because not everybody wants that.
But do you see a lot of lifted trucks out there? I mean, people love that stuff.
Not everybody. There might be some people who just want a stock truck for, either commuting or doing stock truck things. And, making it taller is very difficult for, let's say, somebody of shorter stature to get in and out of it. So all of a sudden, half your market is gone because anybody who's less than 6'3", like you are, is gonna struggle getting in and out of the thing. You're also... have a spare tire that now no longer fits underneath the truck because
it does not.
So it just sits there in our carriage house or in the bed of the truck, right? So you have compromised it in a bunch of different ways. And to be honest, we did take the truck to Moab, and even though we did make it much better off-road, I am not a big fan, Andre, of off-roading HD trucks.
Well, they're big, heavy beasts, right? We weighed our Ram after the upgrades, and it weighed 8,800 pounds. And you're talking about taking that weight, on still, difficult terrain.
Still less than a Humvee V.
Yes, but you're still, carrying a lot of weight on an off-road trail, and it's difficult to do, and, visibility is tough, right? It's hard to see around you in such a big vehicle.
It's just hard to off-road something that big, especially if you're doing anything that's technical. And Moab is... perfect because there aren't a lot of trees. Forget about taking this thing into like the forest, right? Moab is kind of the perfect ideal place because there are no trees for you to hit. And so everything is wide open. And yet, because you're so tall and because it's so big, you have really bad sight lines. Also, even though the suspension is tuned for off-roading, it is still so stiff, Andre, because it's
come on,
the day, it's a towing
truck. No, it's not stiff.
It's stiff.
No,
it's
no. You can adjust
stiff.
It, Roman. You can get under it and actually make it ride more comfy or not comfy.
Yeah, not
adjust
comfy.
It.
Not comfy.
Adjust it.
I could not make it comfy. I could make it less uncomfortable, but I comfy is a bridge too far, my man.
Dude. I disagree.
And then,
I disagree.
And then, Andre, we have had some issues repaired under warranty, but when we took it off-road, when we engaged four-wheel drive, it developed this tick.
Yeah, and it was an issue that was known in the Ram truck, even though we did lift ours.
Yep.
It was a problem with all of them, or most of them of that year.
What was the issue with the tick?
It was like a side axle mounting. So... it's got a solid front axle, right? And the way, you know, the knuckles mount it and the steering components mount, I think there's like a loose bolt that develops, you know, it gets loose over time, and it was fixed under warranty.
Yeah, it's ticking again, though.
What?
Tommy just said he took it into your pit, Andre's pit, and it was ticking again. So we're back to the tick. So it has not been,
problem-free
or stellar in the off-road space. Now, in the towing space, I can't say a bad word about it. It is just a phenomenal.
And the exhaust brake is wonderful. It tows downhills
it
as well
uphill,
as uphill.
It tows sideways. It tows
upside down.
It tows every way you can. And same thing with hauling. It hauls like the problem is it's so tall now. It's hard to get stuff into the bed. But nevertheless, it's just a really great truck for trucky things. And it looks really badass when you look at it, right? With that AEB bumper, the winch, the
extra lights.
Yeah, it's just a very handsome truck. Now, I will say the interior does show dirt, and we have this kind of basic gray interior. It's all mouse fur. There's no leather, and it does feel a little old school now. And I guess that's good for a truck. I mean, you don't want a truck to be fancy schmancy, but at the same time, it could be that we really don't have like a fleet manager, so people just use it and abuse it, and then they bring it back, and then, you know, next time we go and use it, I get all salty because there's no DEF or there's no diesel, and then the interior is just all dusty. And so it really needs a good cleaning.
Yeah, like any truck.
Yeah, and then Alex took it to California with his dog, and his dog had his way with the truck.
What do you mean?
It just chewed on shit and, you know, and ran around. It's a very
energetic. Frank is very respectful.
He's a very energetic dog.
He's very respectful.
He's a lot of things, but
I've been on a trip with Frank,
yeah.
and he wasn't that bad.
No? Well, there's definitely Frank left his mark on it, yeah. Which is fine. It's a truck, right? I mean, it's going to happen. And Alex did a good job in trying to. But I just don't love the interior. The seats are very cushy, which is nice. But they are also kind of just plain Jane. And
is it the best, the coolest truck we've owned?
Yeah, it is. It is.
No, I disagree.
I think it's better than the F-250 we had. You like the F-250 better?
No, I'm talking about the trucks we purchased this year.
Oh, is it the best one we've owned?
Well, we need to figure this out. We need to move on to the next one.
Well, hold on. We're not done with the Cummins yet. There's a couple other things I want to talk about.
Okay.
So the DEF usage is pretty high.
Very high.
Yeah, so you do end up spending a lot of time pouring
DEF. And I think
DEF.
It's partially because it's taller and heavier now, so yeah. We are using it harder.
Yeah.
So, and it uses DEF fluid.
And then the other thing that bugs me is, because the DEF fluid is right next to the diesel fluid, and that whole area of the truck is disgusting town, because the DEF is urea, basically, right? And it eventually spills when you're
and
filling
it's crusty.
And it's crusty and it's gross.
Yeah.
And then diesel is also kind of weird and kind of oily. And so, like, that whole area is kind of gross. And
it is. It's hard to clean because you don't want to, like, spray water into it.
No.
Because the water, it's a capless system, right?
Yeah.
The diesel filler doesn't have a cap on it. So if you try to wash it out or wipe it out, you will have somehow get water into the fuel, and that's bad.
And the other thing about DEF is the prices are all over the place. Like, if you go to Sam's Club, you can get that stuff for one of those big containers. How many is it? Is it like 4 gallons, one of those containers, or 2 gallons?
No, it's a 2 gallon per container. It's usually in a cardboard box, and it's a plastic container, and it's usually $20.
But it's at Sam's Club, it's like $10. It's like half price. And if you go to the gas station, sometimes it's like $25. And then there's just so much waste, right? The box is waste, and then the container is waste. Yes. I've never seen more packaging for something that doesn't need to have as much packaging.
Exactly. And also, sometimes at the truck stop, you get the nozzles, right?
That's better.
That's better, but it could be worse because you don't know, you know,
what kind of DF you're pouring in there?
Yeah, if it's poor, good quality, bad quality. And actually, DF systems like Alex found out. He also has a Cummins RAM heavy duty. He had a DF injector problem on his.
Yeah. Right?
So it gets kind of contaminated and crusty. And so it matters what quality liquid you're putting in there.
Yeah, and all of you guys out there and gals saying, well, why don't you just, you know, basically take that stuff out of there, get more torque, get more horsepower, just delete that. I'm like, hey guys, you know, I like my lungs. Diesel is not the healthiest thing in the world. And for all of you folks who, you know, enjoy rolling coal, you know, go jump in a lake. Really, it's you know, we have one planet. We all have to breathe the air. And there's nothing worse than some douchey dude who's deleted his and done it illegally. By the way, the EPA is cracking down on all those companies. Did you see that? The recent news this week was that Cobb got fined $2.5 million, and they don't even do diesel deletes.
Not really, no.
No, Cobb does like, you know, performance tuning. Cars. And one of the things that Cobb had done was they allowed you to, because by law, you can't change or you can't access the emissions controls. And yet one of their tuners actually allowed you to mess with the emissions controls. And that's probably hard to control, because if you do want to do any kind of tuning, you're probably going to have to change the emissions, right? That's part of it. It's all
that's
one
part
system.
Of the whole system, yeah.
But anyway, I'm with Banks, and that is, if you're rolling coal, that's basically unused
You're wasting fuel, first of all.
Yeah, you're wasting fuel.
And second of all, those particles that are coming out can get in your lungs.
Yeah, you're throwing carcinogens into the air. You're throwing particulates into the air that lodge deep in your lungs. With people like me who have allergies, you know, pollen globs onto those, and next thing you know, I'm freaking miserable. So yeah, no bueno if you think that rolling coal is, you know, cool, and if you think that deleting the stuff. So yeah, it has problems, but I think that's kind of the price we have to pay and should pay to keep, you know, our family safe.
And we've had 30,000 miles on our Cummins now, I think. Maybe even more.
Could be more
recently.
Now.
So we did use it quite a lot. We've, like you said, we've kept the powertrain all stock. No modification to exhaust system. And it sounds pretty cool, too.
It sounds incredible. I love the sound of diesels. Yeah.
It's very cool sounding.
I love that
truck.
Percolator sound. Where it's just like I say, a grand old truck. Now, Alex, who's also on the team, was one of our videographers, like you said, he has also one of the same generation, and he's had all kinds of issues with it. So not only injector issues, I think he also had, what's that called when you go into regen, right? He had issues with it regenning. It wasn't burning off the filter correctly. So he's had it in a bunch. We haven't had those issues, so I don't know if that's something
and
that's...
And we bought it almost at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, so he bought his truck like a month or two after we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's so really odd.
So I don't know if it's like a Stellantis thing or an FCA thing where one got, you know, a Monday build, the other got like a midweek build.
We don't know.
Or Friday build. I don't know. But ours has been pretty reliable except for that tick.
Yeah, in the suspension and the front steering, basically.
In the front steering, which apparently is back. All right, now we'll move on. So the next big truck that we had this year was, of course,
huge,
our Toyota Tacoma TRD Off-Road, Andre. We went and got Blueberry.
Yeah, we did. We traveled to Houston and picked it up and then road tripped it back. And this is an all-new generation, right? And we wanted to be one of the first people, and we were one of the first people to pick it up, become owners of it, test it long-term. And it is blue.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's KundryMD.com/energy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
It's very blue. That's why you nicknamed it Blueberry.
Yeah.
We held on to it not that long.
Half a year,
you know, which is kind of typical for us. We keep vehicles as long as you guys don't get bored with them. And then once you're bored with them, we move them on and we take the money and put it into something else. And in this case, we put it into the Range Raptor, which we'll get to in a second. So we did do immediately a long road trip, which we also towed on. So we got...
We had a teardrop trailer we were towing.
Actually, we towed into a snowstorm.
Exactly. From the heat of Houston into the snow of
muggy
Colorado.
Heat of Houston into the snow of Colorado.
Yes.
And then, of course, we took it off-road and broke it.
You broke it. I didn't.
Oh, I see. It was, yeah, that's right, me. All right. I took it off-road and broke it.
Yes. You were driving.
And let's talk about that. So we took it up the Ironclads, and it was kind of a wintry day, and there was a little
bit... It was icy and a little snowy.
A little snowy, and according to Toyota, what happened... Well, you're better at these technical explanations. I'll tell you what happened when I was driving it, and then you give him the technical explanation.
Sure.
So I put it in like snow or off-road or rock mode, I think. I forget what the mode was.
You put it in like rock crawl mode because it has one.
Yeah.
And you were on rocks.
And we were on rocks that were a little snow covered. And the truck was struggling to get up the rocks, even though we were comparing it, I think, to your Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your Colorado just crawled up this.
Well, My Colorado did not just crawl, but I kind of mashed. I did it Nathan method, right?
I used momentum and power.
I used power because it was spinning wheels, and I kind of was able to find traction eventually and kind of power through it in my truck and kind of jump over the rock.
So I was having issues. The truck was spinning its wheels, its rear wheels. It was spinning its front wheels, and then all of a sudden there was a crack that just, you know, reverberated through the forest, and I was like, because, you know, not because we broke it, but because...
We
don't like breaking things,
no.
But I knew that we have to call Toyota now, and this is going to be a big deal. So from a video standpoint, it's
so
great.
So why did we have to call Toyota?
Because it's...
Can you explain that? Because a lot of people question this, because we own it. They don't own it.
Yeah, so Toyota did us a courtesy of... We didn't get any discounts, but they did us a courtesy of helping us be one of the first in the country to buy
it. They moved us up the line.
Yeah, so
yes.
We did get a little bit of... insider help, and so I felt like we owed them an explanation before we published the video and kind of let them know what the heck went on. And that's not a great conversation to have that we just bought this new truck and we broke it. And by the way, we're publishing a video that's not very complimentary of the vehicle. Anyway, so from my point of view, I heard the snap, and then all of a sudden I lost front wheel drive, and then I'm like, oh God, how are we going to get this thing back to the office because there's snow everywhere. Luckily, we were going on a trail where we were going uphill, so I was able to kind of skidded down the ironclads and then turned around, and then we could get out of there because it was all downhill.
And we drove all the way back.
Yeah. It was fine. It drove fine, except we had lost four-wheel drive. So that's what happened from the driver's point of view. And then we took it to Toyota. They replaced the front differential on the truck. But tell them what Toyota said happened, because now we can talk about that.
Yeah, so it was a part inside of the front differential that broke. And also Toyota and, you know, just people in the industry call some of these parts fuses, right? It's a part in the mechanical chain of parts that if something terrible happens, it sacrifices itself, right, to prevent other parts from failing. For example, if you blew a drive shaft and it started banging underneath your truck,
it would be worse.
You would not be able to drive the truck, right? So there are certain sacrificial parts built into the system that are meant to break in specific circumstances. Although we weren't abusing the truck.
No.
Like you're saying, we were on an off-road difficult trail, but we were not jumping it. We were not, you know, dropping it off, you know, concrete blocks. We were not, you know, dropping it off a crane. We weren't, you know, terribly abusing the truck. So what happened was you were in the rock crawl mode on snow, and it sent one power to the front passenger wheel.
First it sent power to the rear wheels in those spots.
It didn't have any traction.
So then it decided that we're going to send power to the front wheels.
And the driver's side didn't have any traction. And then it tried to transfer it to the passenger side. That didn't have traction.
And then
the brakes grabbed.
Yeah, the brakes grabbed, you know, because when you have this traction control system, basically what the truck is doing is trying to find traction. And so it's sending power to one wheel, there's no wheel, so it hits the brake, it sends it to another wheel. But in this case, it sent all the power, all the torque, everything to one wheel. The brakes grabbed and snapped.
And the sacrificial part broke.
Yep.
So the result of all this, Toyota spent a ton of time. You know, we know Sheldon Brown, the chief engineer, because we've met him on several events. You know, we know a lot of people within every manufacturer and every company, and his team, you know, he called his team of engineers. They studied the metallurgy, so they actually looked at the metals, figured out that all the metals inside a differential were to spec and correct. So the problem was really in the software, because the software in that particular circumstance just was too aggressive. The brakes were too aggressive. It sent 100% of power. By the way, you were in four low. That multiplies the torque, right? And that sacrificial element of the front differential broke. So they adjusted the software. They've retested it. We didn't have to replace the entire differential, although they did.
They did.
Just in this particular case. But you could just replace that little part, the little drive shaft inside the differential. You could just replace that part and be fine and move on your way with four-wheel drive. And now all new Tacomas have the latest software.
So you're welcome.
So thank you, Toyota. You're welcome.
If you bought a new Tacoma, you're welcome. We broke it for you.
And now it's better.
Now you guys are all good.
So
feel free to go up the ironclads in the winter in the snowy
conditions. And mash the throttle as hard as you want.
Yeah. So let's talk about the truck, what we thought about it. Let's talk about the bad, and then we'll talk about the good, okay?
So okay.
This was kind of bad, obviously, but it was a weird kind of, you could almost say one-off kind of circumstance. We haven't heard or seen on the forums of this thing repeating itself, so maybe we were the ones that were the...
We found this weird case.
Yeah, the weird case scenario.
We did find it.
Yeah. So some of the other bad things are, it's expensive, dude. I mean,
yes.
It's $45,000.
We paid $45,000.
Yeah, and the interior is pretty clothy for $45,000.
And the screen is small.
Yeah.
Because if you wanted the bigger screens or more tech, we didn't even have like the front disconnecting sway bar. We did have the rear locking differential, right, which is great.
And we were missing a lot of buttons.
We were missing a brake controller, my friend.
We were missing a brake controller.
Even though it tows, 6,500 pounds or 6,400 pounds in this case, this Tacoma, it didn't have all the goodies that we really, really wanted. But the way Toyota works is they build batches of trucks, right? So we had to kind of, we told them we wanted an automatic transmission and a Tier D off-road model, but we didn't control any other options.
Yeah, so like we got the Predator steps, which were not grand because
they hang low.
They hang low. We got the TRD exhaust on the back tip, which we didn't really care about.
Yeah.
The other bad thing about the truck is, well, there's a couple of bad things, but the other bad thing is the rear seat room is very compromised. I would have thunk, thought that you know, Toyota would have increased that rear seat room, but out of all the midsize trucks, it's pretty tight back there. And that's, you know, coming from two tall guys, but I've heard from other people that even if you're not 6'2 or 6'3, it's not very roomy back there.
Of course, Toyota has an answer for this. They say if you need more space in the back, buy a Tundra.
Yes.
That's their answer. But the real answer is that midsize trucks, according to Toyota and some others like Chevy and GM and Ford, they have to be garageable, right? That's one of the criteria that a lot of people who buy midsize trucks have, is that some big full-size trucks or heavy duties, you can't garage them. They're too long or too tall or too wide. And these trucks are just right for a garage. And the cost of that is the rear seat room.
Yeah.
And then although the front seats are really good now.
Yeah.
They fixed the front seats.
Yeah. The front seats are much better. No longer are you sitting on the ground with your legs straight in front of you. The other big thing that I think people are noticing is that the engine, of course, went from a 6-cylinder to a 4-cylinder turbo, but it's a little coarse.
Yes. And
which is okay in a truck. I'm not sure it's okay in a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, like a Land Cruiser, for example, has the same turbocharged engine with a hybrid system.
Yeah,
right?
So in the truck, you can kind of forgive its coarseness. It's kind of like your Colorado.
It's also a little coarse.
Yeah. The upside of that, I don't know if it's upside, but the upside is it makes a lot more torque.
And truck people love torque. We love it for towing.
Yeah.
It accelerates quite well, even at high elevations. 8-speed works well as far as gear spacing and, you know, selection of gears. Although recently we heard there are some issues with the 8-speed. You know, some owners are finding problems.
Yeah. Toyota is having a bad year.
Yeah.
With the Tundra.
Recall on the engine.
And then now in some cases, early builds on the Toyota transmission are also having issues. I mean, on the Tacoma transmission.
There is no recall for it right now, but there is if you are having a problem with your Tacoma 8-speed.
Yeah.
Of course, it's under warranty because it's a new truck.
Yeah.
You will get a new transmission if you have the certain problems with it.
Our friend Steve in Canada discovered that when he was towing.
He discovered a problem with the manual.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Toyota is not having a great year.
Its reputation for reliability is certainly...
was shaken today.
Yeah, becoming questionable. I mean, they had to replace 100,000 engines, dude, in a Tundra.
It's going to take them years to replace 100,000 engines.
Yeah, it's not a...
It's not a one and done
type
of thing.
All right, so let's talk about the good now that we've
got the good stuff.
So the good stuff. I love the styling. It looks like a baby Tundra, which is a good thing. I think the Tundra is a handsome truck. I also love the fact that it's got a bed liner from the factory. Unlike our Range Raptor, where we had to spend $600 to line exit, this is already ready to go, so you can throw stuff in there and not feel like you're going to scratch the paint,
well,
which is nice.
Not just the bed liner. It's a composite bed.
Yes.
I mean, the whole bed is a bed liner. I mean, it's built out of this durable kind of composite material, not steel.
Which is nice.
That can scratch and, you know, and rust.
I also think that the interior is quite handsome. I like the design. It's very kind of...
knobby.
They still kept the big dials and switches. So unlike many cars, it does have a big screen, they haven't gone and put everything in the big screen. So you have nice switches to activate the rear locker. You have big dials for the radio. Except for our, for some reason, our volume knob was a little teeny tiny thing.
Well, it came out of like a Corolla.
Yeah.
I mean, why?
The temperature control is huge now.
Huge.
This little teeny tiny, like nipple of a control for the...
You know, there's aftermarket companies that will sell you different knobs, larger ones and milled CNC machined aluminum knobs.
Yeah. And then just one step backwards. You know, the new system in Toyota for infotainment is 100% better, but I hate the fact that it makes you log into it. You know, I struggled with that when we first got it. I mean, once you kind of sign into it, it's okay, but you wonder, like, what kind of information they're collecting in the background.
I don't know what they're collecting, but that's the way
of
the
world. That's what I'm wondering.
It's the way of the world, Roman. I mean, every new vehicle will have profiles and logins.
Yeah, I don't want to log into my car and drive.
All that stuff.
Really don't. Don't, you know. I mean, a push button.
You have to do it once.
Push button start was, you know, fine. But now having to log into my computer like you're logging into a computer is just silly and cumbersome and doesn't make the driving experience better. It makes it worse, right? I mean, the manufacturers will tell you, well, now you can, you know, program your seats and you can program your stereo
stations.
Well,
what about your Tesla, for example? You have a profile there.
Yes,
there's your profile. It, you know, it fixes your seat position,
but
and
somehow,
your mirrors.
But somehow it's seamless, whereas the other manufacturers aren't seamless. The vehicle struggles with it.
Yes, because software is not free and it's not easy.
No. So other good things about it, I like the wheels actually. I think those were really good.
Wheels and tires,
yeah,
yes.
They were fine. And certainly they fixed a lot of the issues with the old Tacoma in terms of the transmission not talking or not arguing with the engine. A lot of people, you know, seem to be okay with the 4. At first, there was a lot of pushback. I was reading comments. People were like, oh, I missed my 6. But now that people have actually gotten to drive it, I think that they're okay with the 4-cylinder.
It drives quick, and it drives nice.
Yeah, and the fuel economy is not horrible.
Yeah, and we've tested it many times. And on the highway, it's really, really good. Maybe in the city, it's not so good.
Yeah.
And now the hybrid, of course, is available too. And the hybrid has other issues. It's too heavy. It's also not very efficient, right? So, but that's a different story. We didn't own a hybrid.
No, we got the
base one.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the reason we sold it, which was to pay for the Ranger Raptor. And this is where it gets kind of interesting because we paid, like I said, $45 for the TRD Pro Off-Road Tacoma. TRD Off-Road. But the Pro... those things are like 65-ish
or more,
whereas our Ranger Raptor is 57, and that's all in, man. There you can get more stickers, you can get some beadlock ready wheels. But that's about it.
Yeah,
yeah, they're pretty much from the factory. So the Ford has got a lot of lot more options for a lot less money. And now I'm talking about comparing it to the TRD Pro or the Trail Hunter, not to ours that we had. So let's talk about the biggest one. You get both a front and a rear locker.
In the Ranger Raptor, yes. You also have a very powerful twin turbo V6.
Yeah, we just tuned it. So we just did a bunch of videos.
Yeah.
Tell them about that. Tell them what you did this week.
Yeah, so Ford is kind of going all in. I think it may be because Jim Farley, the CEO, he's an enthusiast. He races Mustangs and other vehicles. And he's kind of has this kind of enthusiast mindset. And now Ford is offering, almost across the board, certified performance tunes.
Yeah, and so they sent us one, which is nice.
They're like $825.
Which we didn't pay. So let's be full disclosure. They sent it to us for review. And how much torque and horsepower does that get you?
You get 50 more horsepower, which is pretty significant.
Yeah.
And 106 additional pound-feet of torque.
So I put up a video, a short, just showing that Tommy put up the video, actually, a short showing how the tune works, and he called it affordable, and then in the comments, people are like, $800 affordable, and I'm like, yeah, compared to new headers, compared to free flow exhaust, remember, compared to all the other ways that me and you probably, well, me for sure, we had to tune our vehicles when we were young, right?
Yes.
That stuff, hardware is expensive, software, plug it in.
One thing is to buy an exhaust system and pay money for it, but then you have to install it. And usually if you're doing it ourselves, like you and I would, we would mess something up, right?
Oh, I would definitely mess it up.
So the fact that for $800, let's say $825, by the way, if you have your dealer do it, they'll charge you something extra, right?
Yeah.
Like an hour of work potentially. But it's designed so you can do it yourself. You know, you can actually... It's not easy.
No, you gotta watch the video. It's pretty clumsy.
You have to go to oldtfl.com. We kind of show you the entire process of what it takes because you have to have a Windows computer. You have to kind of upload and download a couple steps. But then once you have it, plug it into your truck, OBD2 port, and within about 5 or 6 minutes, bam, you have 50 extra horsepower.
Yeah, and then the best thing about it, Andre, and this is the part that I think that the commenters missed, is that when me and you, or when I went and modified something, it voided the factory warranty. But since this is Ford, you keep your factory warranty. So it's it's a win-win. You get more power for not a huge amount of money without any necessary wrenching on the thing or installing expensive parts. And the warranty still holds.
Yeah, it holds because they certified it. They tested it. It comes from Ford.
Yeah.
So, and you can go back to stock. There's a way to revert that, and go back to your stock settings anytime you want. And they give you a little box, little screen, little tuner screen.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break. Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
Yeah, now you may be wondering, you know, what does that mean in the real world? And we're doing those videos right now. So go to, where, Andre?
OldTFL.com. So we show you a drag race.
Yep.
To show you what that means.
But that'll be
also,
next week.
We toasted it.
We haven't published that yet, right? Next week we're publishing it.
This week.
Oh, this week.
So we're publishing a drag race.
Okay, so the drag race. So we drag raced it, and then we timed it compared to your Colorado, and yes. Then we tuned it in real time. And compared it again. So you can see just how much improvement you get when you tune it. And then we're going to run the Denver 100, tuned and untuned, to see what price you pay.
In efficiency, yeah.
In efficiency, yeah.
And also, we've toasted it.
Yes, we toasted it.
Roman, we toasted it on our TFL toaster, which is a kind of an endurance test, because we want to see what if you overheat it. I mean, you're boosting the turbochargers, more PSI, more air, more fuel. What if it overheats?
Yeah, and before we go on any further, I just want to give a big shout out to our Patreon supporters.
Yes.
You guys are the best. If you guys want to get videos early, so that you don't have to wait, for these to come out. These guys get them way ahead of time, or you can get them way ahead of time. If you want to get this podcast without commercials, go on over to Patreon/TFLCar or click on the link in the description below. And if you want to get behind-the-scenes videos, which yes. Like this week we produced, it's all on Patreon, and we'll be very grateful because it allows us to keep providing you with this kind of ongoing flood of videos. I'm a big believer in, you know, providing a lot of different choices for people. So if you want to watch a video on, you know, a leaf, we've got that out there. If you want to watch a video on Andre and myself toasting the tuned Tacoma, no, toasting the tuned Ranger Raptor.
Yes.
I was trying to go with more T's there, Andre. then that's out there as well.
If you want to watch a motorcycle review,
we have that.
We have that.
Well. Yeah.
If you want to do a classic, if you want to see a classic vehicle, we have that.
Yeah, we did something crazy. We can talk about that right now before we go back. We actually bought another Model T. You know, there's that saying, like, you can't just have one. They're like Tic Tacs.
Wow.
So we went and bought a non-runner because the original one we had was kind of a 1915, and we bought a 1927, which is much it's still a Model T, but it's much younger.
But it's also a truck.
It's also a truck.
Yes.
It was a truck as opposed to a roadster, and we drove it up Pikes Peak.
And down.
Down is the scary part, yeah. So that's coming up on Classics next week. This week.
So you did the Pikes Peak Hill Climb in a 1927 Ford.
Yeah, that was quite the big lift. Heavy lift, Andre.
Yeah.
Not for me because I was in the support truck. It was Tommy and Case out there. So that's going to be a one-hour special that we'll be publishing next weekend. So please be sure to tune into that because it's really cool because we had some adventures. And I think on Monday we're going to give that to our patrons ahead of time. All right, let's keep going with the Ranger Raptor. So things we like and don't like. So what I don't like, there's not a lot to not like about it. The steps, we took it up Kelly Flats.
So it's got Ranger Raptor, F-150 Raptor steps, basically.
Yeah, and they get in the way, especially when you're doing hard. We took it up trail at Kelly Flats, which I would call an 8 out of 10. Quite scary. Big boulders, you know.
Yeah, Onyx off-road rates it really highly.
Yeah, lots of
on difficulty.
Possibilities to fall one way or the other. You know, you could flip the truck, and we just banged the hell out of those things.
And also, they're sticking out sideways a little bit, right? Yeah. So, because they're several inches wide.
So, like, rocks are, like, you know, tearing at that cover on them.
But when you go into Costco and Sam's Club, you're getting out of the truck, sometimes it scratches your leg, the bottom of your leg or your pant.
Yeah, because it's kind of rough.
Yeah, so it's not ideal. Maybe Ford can offer like a tubular step or like a rock slider.
Yeah, something that's tucked in underneath that allows
you to. So maybe a different option there would be really
helpful. And the truck isn't even all that tall. It's only on 33s.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing I like about it. I love the new KO3s. It's the first vehicle to come with those. Really great tire, especially since they're snow rated. So I can't wait to do some snow driving with it to see what that's like. The other thing I don't like about it, the seats look good, but they're not comfortable for me. They're almost bent too much, and so they hit the back of my neck almost, and I can't get comfortable in the seats. That's just a me thing because I got this freakishly tall torso and short legs, but I kind of feel like they're forcing me to hunch over And so I have to drive like you do, dude, which is...
Leaning back.
Yeah, like gangster style.
Yeah. And no, then, I kind of like the seats for me, at least for my body.
And then I like the exhaust note. I think that is actually not bad.
For a V6, yeah. I think they did a really great job of tuning the exhaust. It can be, it's got valves, right? So it is a true Raptor. So you can make it quieter or a little bit louder.
So we were towing with it yesterday before we were toasting it, and Andre was driving the thing. He was like, right, you were racing cars towing, dude.
Well, I was having fun. I mean, it was a tuned truck. I was having
but
fun.
But we're towing. We had a big load behind us.
We were towing 5,500 pounds.
And you were racing cars off the stoplight, and you were beating them.
That's how cool this truck is.
It's pretty badass. And the last thing I don't like is, once again, they're hard to find for sticker. Here in Colorado,
yeah, some dealers are overcharging.
We're seeing 5 to 10. Other places are 2K over sticker. But it's
And 2024s are done.
Yep.
So the 21st year of the Ranger Raptor is complete. And I'm not sure exactly when you can order 2025 or if you can do it now. So there's a changeover. And there's still, I think the supply doesn't match demand, right? So they're still kind of short on supply.
Back seat is good?
Okay, but it's not truck, far from Tacoma, right? It's not far, I mean, but it's okay.
It's not like a full-size truck where you're going to be in the lap of luxury.
And it doesn't tow very much.
No, it doesn't.
5,500 pounds is the maximum it's rated for.
When you think of Gladiator, which would directly compete against it, tows, what,
7,700?
Yeah. It's kind of...
Pokey. It's lowish. Yeah. It's lowish.
What are your likes and dislikes?
I love a lot about it. Yes, the price, 57K, sounds crazy, but I think it's great value considering you get low range transfer case, all wheel drive transfer case, all in one. You get front and rear lockers. You get a really powerful engine. That's fun. That allows me to have fun every day when I'm driving it. The only shortcomings I would say is the towing. But it does have a built-in brake controller,
yeah.
So at least
sweet.
That's really nice. So if it towed, maybe if it was ready to tow, maybe another 1,000 pounds. I know. Ford would tell me to buy like an F-150 Raptor, of course, but I don't want to because this is a $57,000 value. I would say I love a lot about it.
I would say, Andre, if we were still doing the Gold Hitch, the best truck of the year, that would be a contender in my book.
The top of the list.
I'd be hard pressed to find a better truck for less money or more money than the Ranger Raptor. And I'm gonna go one step further, Andre. I'm gonna say it's the best of the Raptors. I mean, we've driven all three, right? We've got the Raptor, we've got the Raptor R, we've got the Bronco Raptor, and we've got the Ranger Raptor.
Yes.
I think that's the best one from just a usability standpoint.
Everyday driving.
Yeah. The Raptor R, which we also owned, and we've owned every generation of Raptor. They're incredible trucks, but the downside to a full size truck, especially one that wide, is it's hard to park.
It's humongous.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're in Texas, but if you have to go park it at the Trader Joe's, you're gonna suffer. and the biggest, I think, problem with the Bronco Raptor is that the engine is its shortcoming. The chassis is incredible, the suspension is incredible, but compared to like a Jeep 392, it just needs better power than that 3 liter. That 3 liter is not bueno.
I agree, the Bronco Raptor is incredible. I've done Bronco Raptor off-roadios. It's got 37s from the factory,
yes.
Amazing chassis. But the engine is just okay because it's so heavy.
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
So what the Ranger Raptor gives you is this incredible performance envelope in a vehicle that you can use every day. Now, a lot of people drive Raptors every day, but you could take this home and you could give it to your daughter, and I think she'd be fine driving it immediately. Bring the Raptor home and give it to your daughter, and she's going to be
intimidated by it, first of all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then it could be a problem.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It just has the biggest bandwidth for everything that you want, and then it still has incredible suspension, the incredible off-road worthiness, and it's going to be really hard to sell that truck. I'm not looking forward to the day when we go and pass it on, which we will because
we have to pay for something else.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, exactly. We don't keep them beyond a point of reviewing them. All right, we got to go to the elephant in the room now.
The elephant in this room is the Tesla Cybertruck.
Yeah, I've gone on quite a journey with that thing. quite a journey, Andre. So when we first got it, I absolutely hated it.
Yes.
I just felt like it was built by a company that doesn't understand trucks. It was built, I remember we called it the
Cybercar.
The Cybercar. It was like a vehicle. And part of that reason was because it was sold half-baked, right? We bought a lot of things because we got the Foundation Series because we wanted to be first, which the truck did not have. First and foremost was dual lockers. Now, we don't have the Cyber Beast. We have the Cyber Truck. The Cyber Beast is a three-motor.
Yeah.
We've got the dual motor, which I actually think is better for off-roading, but we can talk about that. But, you know, I felt kind of ripped off, so we paid $100,000 for it. Of course, I was at the launch, and it was supposed to be $39,000. So $39,000, and then it was supposed to be $80,000, and then in the end, if you want, it's $100,000. You know, that is quite the.
That's already was an eye-watering pill to swallow.
Yeah. So it didn't have the lockers, it didn't have full self-driving, still doesn't have full self-driving.
No, we still don't.
It didn't. It came with the ability to charge your house, which I installed in my house, but it's power your house. It still doesn't have that because Xcel's, I guess, being pissy about it.
Xcel is our local utility.
So we still don't have that. So you know, we paid a lot of money, but we still don't have a lot of things. But why don't you talk about like some of the early tests we did, which it didn't do very well in.
Yeah, and of course, we put it for the ringer. We almost have 10,000 miles on it now.
Yeah. We'll get to the towing test, but I took it to Moab, and because it didn't have lockers, it actually kind of sucked off-road.
Yeah.
It struggled.
Because it's heavy. I mean, it's like almost 7,000 pounds weight.
Yeah, and then it also has air suspension, so it has up to 16 inches of ground clearance, but man, when you max that thing out on those air suspension, there's no travel left, and so it just beats you up. And then without lockers, it doesn't really have the, now it does, but when we first tested it, it doesn't have the ability to actually go and help anything because you got two open diffs on the thing. Now it's much better. And those tires, let's face it, they look off-roady, but they're really more on-roady.
And they're basically 35-inch tall tires wrapped around 20-inch wheels.
Yeah.
And this is the only way you could buy a Cybertruck. It doesn't even come with a spare tire. You have to buy a spare tire separately.
And then we were moving some stuff to Moab, to our Moab bureau, and the bed kind of comes in.
It's tapered.
It's tapered, yeah. And so we were putting these boxes in, and because the boxes are squared and the bed isn't square, at some point you couldn't get them all the way in there, so that bummed me out as well. And then our tan-out cover sometimes worked and sometimes didn't work, which was also kind of, you know, I'm like, come on, just work. And then we did a Ram Cummins versus, you know, Cybertruck towing test and tell them what happened with that.
Well, that's a question that everybody who sees us on the street and comes up to us to ask about the Cybertruck, they always ask. Range, how long does it charge for, and towing, right? That's what every person wants to know about because they know trucks are working vehicles. We did it. Actually, it's quite a good towing machine from a perspective of driving, right? It's very capable, has lots of power, 600 horsepower. It's got a lot of stability. It's got rear wheel steering that's not only maneuverable, but also helps towing. You know, it's a little bit more stable. All good things. But we only could go, 95 miles?
Yeah.
You know, with a trailer. We were towing a camping trailer. And then, of course, Tesla charging network, the superchargers, are very good, very reliable. And they're in many different locations.
But they're not pull-through.
But they're not pull-through for towing. And also, they're not super fast.
Yeah, so
Cybertruck.
So the Cybertruck has 800 volt architecture, but none of the chargers around here can do that. So at its fastest, I've barely gotten 160 kilowatts of energy, you know, and that's not grand. It's supposed to,
especially for road trips.
Especially something that, like, you know, I've been on some programs with the Ioniq 5 where you go and, you know, same thing, you know, 800 volt architecture. You're pulling 250. The Hummer EV, I saw 368.
Yes.
This thing, the most I've ever seen is 160. So, you know, the problem, quite honestly, with the Cybertruck was that Mr. Musk made a lot of promises. He overpromised and underperformed, unlike a lot of the Germans, which tend to overpromise, underpromise and overperform. Yeah, he did the exact opposite, right? And I think that created a bad taste in my mouth when we first got it. I also didn't like the stainless steel. I didn't like driving a refrigerator around. So there were just a lot of issues with it. That made me very unhappy. But here's the but, Andre.
All right, so you fixed the stainless steel problem.
Yeah, so we wrapped it in the American flag and, you know, had it in the 4th of July parade.
Yes.
Which was pretty controversial. And now, you know, half the people out there give us thumbs up and the other half, like, look at me and shake their head. And I'm like, hey, patriotism isn't, you know, political. Well, I guess it is political, but it isn't Democratic or Republican. It's just patriotism. So, you know, I love this country. I love the flag. And, you know, I'm going to put the flag on the truck because
you did it right there.
Yeah, because it looks cool and it gets rid of the ugly stainless steel. So now I actually like driving it. Tommy hates driving it because he feels like he's really, you know, out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you find out things like the four-wheel steering makes it super maneuverable. So you can actually park it in a Trader Joe's, believe it or not. And then the inside of the cabin is enormous.
It's huge.
It's huge.
But dark. In a way, because sometimes there's nothing, you cannot see out the back glass, right?
Right, but I put a cover on the roof.
So which helps, because it's usually hot in there.
It gets really hot, yeah, so we'll take that off for the winter, take the little screen off. You know, it does really drive very well, and because of the long wheelbase, it's got a super comfy ride when combined with the air suspension. And that tonneau cover, now that we got it fixed, it actually works really well, so like it's great keeping. Like, I had to go pick up my friends at the airport and it started raining, so we just threw their luggage in the back and, you know, no problem. Nothing got wet.
Yeah.
And then I love the space inside the truck, so both front and rear seats have a lot.
It doesn't look roomy from the outside.
Right.
But when you step into it, it actually is quite roomy. The back seat has enough legroom and headroom.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
And then I just love the smoothness of it, right? Once you get used to one-pedal driving, it's really nice. And I love the fact that, you know, I bring it home, I plug it in at night. Never have to go to a gas station, and sure, it's supposed to have 320 miles of range. I think in real world use, it's got like 280, and in the winter, it's probably.
I've never seen over 300 miles in this truck.
But I think in general, just for everyday driving, and for light truck work, it's really good. If you want to tow with it, we've done towing around town.
Yeah, locally,
which
yeah.
is fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend towing cross-country or road-tripping with a trailer. That would be hard.
We've had it long enough. There's a recall on that wiper because the motor burns out, but ours seems to work. It sometimes works too well.
Like, well, we don't get rain, usually.
Sometimes they'll just wipe for no reason, and you're like, why are you wiping?
Maybe it's exercising. Yeah. Maybe it's, you know, it needs to move.
And then the best part is Tesla does have by far the best infotainment. So even though it doesn't have a lot of the things that I love, like Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, like it does have the app for my podcast, and it's all seamless, right? My phone works as a key seamlessly.
Always, every time.
Like you said, I have my user settings set, so my seats are always in the right position.
Yeah.
And the truck has had, except for that tonneau cover issue, we've
no mechanical issues.
Almost 10,000 miles, yeah.
It's amazing. And I want to say another good thing about the app itself. Like, our marketing manager, Grant, took it to Ohio. He drove it out there and back. He was picking us. I flew in to Des Moines, Iowa, I'm sorry. I could see, because I am also an owner of the truck, I could see him on the map approaching me to pick me up at the airport. So we didn't have to call each other.
Yeah, it's nice.
Know, and it's real time. And it always works. It always tells you, you know, what the state of charge is, where it is, all that stuff, tire pressures. It's a really good app.
Now, I also, once we got the lockers, took it back to Moab. And then I took it up pretty, like a 5 or 6 out of 10 mosquito pass. And I don't love off-roading it. Like I said, when you raise the suspension and don't air up the tires, it's still back-breaking. If you do air down the tires, then it gets much better. But it does have a really crappy breakover angle, just so long. And you would think for such a long truck and for such a comfortable ride on-road, it would translate to off-road, but it doesn't. The suspension doesn't have enough travel, so it's very easy to get like a wheel hung up in the air. Mm-hmm. But with the lockers, it will go over anything. It'll do it in a very harsh manner. It doesn't do it like, it's not very athletic. It's just, it'll do it, but it won't do it gracefully. And then there are a lot of squeaks and rattles when you're off-road with it, which also aren't great. I don't love taking it off-road, but it will go off-road.
But there's an everyday runabout, I think, I wouldn't call it a working truck, right? You mentioned the bed space.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
reach in height is.
I would say it's like the ultimate SUV.
It's like the ultimate SUV. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
It's comfortable and it's and it's really.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example of that. So my folks are getting up there. My mom's in her 80s and she can't get in and out of cars easily. But with that truck with the air suspension, you just put in slowest settings and she can just hop right in.
Very easy.
And then, once people figure out how to operate the doors, that was a whole kerfuffle when I tried to get my mom to open the door. I had to do it myself, both inside and outside. But once you learn that, it actually isn't that hard to operate. And I think there's been just a lot of shade thrown at the truck from a lot of different people who realize that you get a lot more clicks by showing things fail than you do by showing them succeed. So overall, I think it's a very interesting, very comfortable, very capable truck. Is it worth $100K? I don't know, dude. That's a lot
not.
Of probably not.
No.
I think at $80K, it's starting to make sense.
At $100K, it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
much.
It's like you're paying for being one of the cool kids or uncool kids, depending on what your perspective is of its styling. But yeah, you're paying for
exclusive. And you're not getting a full self-driving or autonomous, semi-autonomous driving anyways.
I don't care. I've gotten to the point now, Andre.
What?
Where either I want to drive or I don't want to drive. And when I say drive or don't drive, I mean, I love driving. So if I'm driving, we got this i8 and it doesn't have any of that tech. So I love driving, just sitting there driving, wonderful, even on the highway. Or I love sitting in the passenger seat, playing on my phone, screwing around with the radio, not driving. What I hate is sitting there watching the thing drive and basically being in a nanny
babysitting it,
where it's like, you've taken your eyes off the road, put your eyes, that is the worst. So we're in this really weird phase where you're either driving or you're being nagged. And I hate that. Let me get your perspective.
Well, first of all, let's just finish the full self-driving. I think, first of all, the name is wrong. It's not full self-driving. It's like you said, you have to babysit it. But if it was full self-driving, Roman, like Mr. Musk promised us, years ago, and he's going to have a robotaxi event, apparently, on October 10th.
Yeah, that's going
to
fly.
So we're going to have to wait and see what he says in October. But
let me ask you this.
What?
If you owned a Tesla, like the Cybertruck, his idea is that while you're not using it, other people can use it. Would you let him use it?
That's a whole different idea.
That's his idea.
And my answer is no.
No, hell no. I don't want somebody,
because I'm protective of my vehicle.
Yeah, I don't want somebody farting in my brand new Cybertruck or eating Chinese food or God knows what they're doing in there.
Yes.
I am not a taxi service, Mr. Musk.
I'm protective of that.
I'm very proud of my vehicles.
I mean, some people tour their vehicles. So there are different people.
That's a business.
Yes, but this would also be a business.
But he's saying he's combining the two. He's saying you can use it as your own vehicle during the day and then at night.
But have somebody pay you.
Yeah,
not free.
At night, of course. At night, you set it out on its full self driving and it drives people around and comes back in the morning and then you have your vehicle again. No. That is not going to fly, for me at least. No.
Anyways, so.
Smells like get in the thing in the morning. It smells like dirty feet because somebody went to the gym and kept their shoes off. God, no. Hell no.
In the summer. So we've had it in the summer.
Or vaped in it. All right, keep going.
We've had it in the summer, never in the winter.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep it through the winter at least, or at least several months. So I really am curious how it will handle really cold temperatures and lots of snow.
How the tires do in the snow?
Yeah.
What I disliked
in the summer, Roman, is that all that glass, the huge windscreen and the glass roof in the back, even though you put in the shade in there, it still gets hot.
It heats up very quickly,
and you always, that little sun visor, sometimes the sun goes above it, sometimes it goes below it. It's always in my eye. So
not a good design.
That big glass is cool looking maybe to some people, but it really gets hot.
We have automatic climate control turned on, so it happens very often where you just park it, and then 5 minutes later you get a little thing on your app saying automatic climate control.
Yeah, because it's trying to maintain the temperature.
Yeah, it's trying to cool it down.
But you're using energy to do
that,
right?
It superheats so quickly.
So that's kind of a negative, another one. But overall I think it's a pretty good vehicle. SUV, maybe the cyber SUV of the year.
Yeah.
But not the truck of the year.
No, I mean, a truck has to be, at the end of the day, a truck has to be a tool.
Yeah.
Right? It's got to be able to tow. It's got to be able to haul. And this thing does haul. Actually, it's got a crazy high payload.
And it holds butt.
Yeah.
It's fast.
It's like 2,500?
No, 2,000.
That's a lot for a full-size truck. Yeah. That's
it's
a lot.
Better. Is it 2,500?
I also hate.
It might be 2,500.
I think it is 20. It's a lot.
It's like a heavy-duty truck, right?
Yeah. I also hate that little stupid-ass tiny steering wheel. I know they put a yoke on it, but it is absolutely wrong vehicle to put like a Formula One-style steering wheel on. You know, you want to be able to grab that dog by its scruff and like manhandle it or womanhandle it, depending on your point of view. But this little tiny steering wheel just feels completely wrong for such a big-ass vehicle.
I agree. The steering wheel feels weird, especially at low speeds. The steering is so sensitive, right?
It's very sensitive.
So you have to really get used to it or kind of recalibrate your brain because it is quite sensitive.
But you've got an interesting picture up there. You've got the drag race we did with the Toon TRX.
Yeah.
And the TRX was one of my favorite trucks that we ever owned. It's just such a baller of a truck. But
loud, big.
Yeah, but you know cool. what? I don't miss that in the Cybertruck because it's just stealthy quick. I mean, that thing, even the dual motor... Well, tell them what happened in the drag race.
Well, so we did two drag races. We did the Cybertruck.
Thanks to our friends at Granger.
Granger Motors. So check them out, GrangerMotors.com.
Yeah, they sell factory warranties. And vehicles,
yeah.
But I'm not a huge fan of factory warranties, but these guys actually kind of stand behind there.
And also make it affordable.
Yeah.
They make it a little bit more affordable.
So even if you don't buy... vehicle from Granger, you could still buy the factory warranty from
extended warranty.
It's a good deal. So check them out.
Yeah, and you could do it online very easily. You can finance it. So you know what I hate is like at the dealership, going into that room with the financial manager, and they try to beat some money out of you. I hate that. But Granger Motors makes it very simple and very a little bit more affordable and very easy.
Yeah, and you don't have to go back to them. To make use of the warranty.
Because every dealership can service it.
And your AM dealership, yeah. All right, anyway, keep going. So we drag raced the
Cybertruck against the standard TRX, and the Cybertruck won, actually. And this was in Iowa, not at high elevation, right? Elevation was relatively low, but it was a very humid and hot day. And then we did a second drag race where the Cybertruck, the same one, went up against a tuned TRX Tyrant. This is a package that Granger Motors used to sell, basically a tuned, including some hardware components, not just software, but also hardware, that increases the power to 787. So now we have a 787 horsepower Ram versus a 600 horsepower Tesla. And you know the Ram won?
Yeah. And then the craziest thing we did with it is we were the first, I believe, to take it to a tractor pull.
We did.
Yeah, and you drove it, and it actually did really well.
And I got booed.
You got booed, yeah. They told Andre to go back to California.
But I'm not from California.
No, wrong direction. He's from Thornton.
I am.
Yeah, that's east, not west.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, we did that as well.
Yeah.
It didn't do so well, but it was also my first time tractor pulling.
Yeah, I think that we compared to the Ram did better.
Yeah.
But that's just designed for pulling.
So now, well, we have a couple of other trucks coming.
And then can I also address one other thing? Look, a lot of people out there are watching or have watched the Whistling Diesel test of the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
And
we've watched it, of course, as well.
Yeah, and all I can say is it's very entertaining. You know, I call it destruction porn. But if you're making your buying decision based on what he's doing to these trucks, right, where he's dropping them and basically abusing them, and somehow you're thinking to yourself that, you know, one of these trucks did much better than the other one and the Cybertruck completely failed – this is not what engineers designed the trucks for. This is not the intended use. And basically, you're just throwing stuff up against the board and seeing what happens so you can entertain people. Like I say, I call it destruction porn. I hate it personally. I love vehicles way too much. I've never been the kid who's broken his toys. So to me, watching those videos actually physically hurts. What as a journalist even hurts more is that now people are like, well, the Ford did much better because, you know, the Cybertruck broke in half or whatever. None of that is any kind of testing that is real, right? And I know that.
Because testing is controlled.
Yes.
Repeatable, right?
Exactly.
You need to be able to repeat it, control it, do it in a way that makes sense for people. And it is not dropping it off a
ledge. No. And people are saying, well, the hitch isn't strong enough. We put 30,000 pounds on our hitch when we did the tractor pull.
Yeah. 30, it did not fall off.
It did not. How come our hitch did not fall off, but yet, you know, because it's not, this is not a real, this is just, these videos are simply meant to get clicks.
To entertain.
To entertain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have fun. If you love watching people destroy stuff, burn stuff, break stuff, yeah, go for it. I get that. But please don't be like, oh, the Cybertruck sucks because a Whistling Diesel broke it. Yeah. Yeah. No. Anyway.
Hear this.
Yeah, here it
is. We're pulling 33,000 pounds with it.
And, yeah, the hitch did not break off. I wonder how that happened. Huh? Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm done getting off my rant.
No, I'm...
Let's finish this up, Andre.
I'm with you 100% of the time because I've listened to many podcasts that discussed the Whistling Diesel video, and a lot of them are saying, well, it was really great testing. No, it's entertainment. It wasn't testing. Okay, so we have two other trucks coming later in the next few months that we may or may not want to talk about. But out of the trucks we discussed, Ram Heavy Duty Cummins, Tacoma, TRD Off-Road,
Cybertruck,
Ranger Raptor, Model T in 1927.
Ranger Raptor
is the best.
Yeah, it wins on based on affordability,
daily use,
off-roading.
Yes.
The only thing where it falls down, I think, short on is towing. It's unfortunate at 5500.
But it's capable of towing.
It, I'm sure it could tow a lot more.
But it's just not rated to.
It's not rated to, and we're not
we're not going to overload it.
I'm sure it probably could do more, but it's not. You know.
And we have we can say this. We talked about this. We have a Boyce Equipment Bob Deuce, a military truck coming, hopefully next year, because it takes a few months to get it. And we have a 2025 Ford Maverick coming soon. That should be great.
Yeah, we talked about that on the car podcast. So yeah. Tommy wants to actually buy that from the company. So I'm super excited. But to pay for these guys, we're going to have to sell some.
Maybe even the Cybertruck and maybe even the Raptor.
Well, I think we're gonna have to sell the Ram. It's been around for too long.
Yeah, the Ram has to go.
And the reason we're waiting to sell that is because there's a bunch of new heavy duty trucks coming. We just did a video this week with the new Rams as well as the new Super Duties from Ford. And so we're kind of discussing which. I think we have to always have a diesel. So we're gonna get a diesel. The question is, are we gonna stick with Ram? Yeah. Are we gonna go to the Super Duty, or are we gonna go with Chevy? And you know, that is based on trying to provide you guys with as much knowledge and as much choice as possible. So we don't necessarily want to, like, I think we're really Ford heavy right now, Andre, right? We have a Raptor Ranger. We have three classic Fords, and we're getting a Maverick.
Yeah.
Really
so
Ford
I don't
heavy.
Think we should buy another Ford.
Yeah, I think Ford may be off the
and
list.
And Ram, clock is ticking. I'm banging my watch right now.
Yeah, Ram is just, yeah, I know.
Because we want to do the next generation Cummins, but you haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
They haven't announced the specifications or options or anything like that or pricing. So, Ram, please, the clock is ticking. Let us know what's going on.
All right, guys. Remember, check out alltfl.com if you want to be in the loop on everything that we're doing, not just trucks, but cars, motorcycles, off-road, EVs, and breaking news.
Yeah.
And Andre, what are you most excited about? What video that's coming ahead? Which is the one that you're... the toaster?
I wanted to go to the moon, Roman. That's my dream.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have...
That's a dream I had.
I'm a whisper. Can we talk about this?
No.
Okay.
Well, we could hint. Space trucks.
Stay tuned.
You know...
Space truck.
I've been doing Earth trucks for 13 years.
Yes. I'm so excited. Yes.
I'm ready to go into space.
Yes, yes, space trucks. That's all we can say, but we'll elaborate on that next week.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And we're not joking.
No,
really,
we're not kidding.
We're not kidding. All right, see you guys next time. Ciao.
Thanks, bye.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories. And along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.